This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Today we're going to talk about grace, empower, confidence before God, which is so vital, because a lot of time God has given us a righteousness that we can stand confidence before God, but often it's in the mind, but emotionally we are not connected. So we're going to unpack some of what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 3. We're going to focus primarily on two passages of scripture, Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to verse 31, which is the premier passage of scripture to help us to understand the gospel of grace. And if we have time, we're going to cover 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 21, okay? I don't think we have time because I'm going to rush through. If not, I'm going to do it next week. Anyway, we're going to take 5 sessions to talk about what is grace, both the legal position as well as the living condition. So if I can't finish this year, we can always do it sometime next year. So tonight, we're going to focus on just two passages, okay? Romans 3. Verse 21 to 31, and 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 21. Just give a little bit of review, because last week we briefly ran through, you know, it's like really fast. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, all the way to Romans chapter 3, verse 28. In fact, I encourage you and challenge every one of us to read through, because it's such a powerful presentation of what gospel of grace is all about, which we need to understand. And in that four chapter, Paul actually defined and explained to us three vital terms. You need to understand these three terms in order to understand what is the gospel of grace: justice, mercy, grace. Okay, I defined briefly for you last week. Justice, mercy, grace. Justice is you get what you deserve. Okay, which Paul explained it very clearly in Romans 1, verse 18, all the way to the end of Romans chapter 2. All men are guilty. Everyone is guilty. Okay, so that's what we deserve. In fact, once in a while, we need to come back and preach the severity of sin. You know, like what one of the great message of Jonathan Edwards: sinners in the hand of an angry God. We hardly preach about hell now because it's politically incorrect, but we need to talk about hell. We need to talk about the depravity of a sinfulness of man. We only deserve one conclusion, one destination, that is to be burned in the lake of fire. Because we will never appreciate grace, you'll never appreciate mercy unless we understand justice. I'm not just talking about understanding here. I'm talking about understanding in our heart and our emotion. We realize what we deserve without the mercy and the grace of God. And so often, we don't teach it correctly or even hardly talk about. Many people thought that kind of God owe us to give us salvation. No, God does not. That's called grace. That's called mercy. Okay, so justice. Justice is getting what we deserve, okay? So when you understand justice, I said last week, none of us will want to tell God, God, it's unfair. You must treat me justly, you know? You don't want God to treat you justly, okay? So if you truly understand justice, you'll not complain about unfair, because we already get more than what we, or rather, we did not get what we deserve, and we get more than what we should not deserve, okay? So that's justice, getting what we deserve. Mercy is we do not get what we deserve. That means all of us in this room only deserve one conclusion beside the saving grace of Jesus. We deserve to go to the lake of fire. But because of God's mercy, we did not get what we deserve. That's mercy. There's a third one, which is grace. Grace is we get what we do not deserve. You know, I give you an example. It's like now Annabelle is no longer working in NPARK. Then suddenly they tell her she's going to give her 40 months of bonuses. You know, she's getting what she did not deserve. Okay, if you get the 40 months of bonuses, please remember us. When you're in paradise, please remember us. Okay, so that's what we ran through last week briefly, which I'm going to run through again because it's so vital for us to have clarity and understanding so that we will have a living understanding of the imputed righteousness that God has put in us, in our spirit. Because, no, the whole five teaching series is not so that we understand some theological Bible terms, which are important, but it's not for us to just understand some theological biblical terms so that we can have some debate. At the end of the day, we must have that living understanding of God's mercy, God's grace in our heart, so that we will have confidence to stand before God, even in our weakness, even when we struggle. Hear carefully, okay? I explain next two sessions about how do you balance between we are righteous versus that we need to deal with our sin. That's where Paul talks about that we need to be free from guilt, shame, condemnation. But on the flip side, we must have godly sorrow. How do you balance that? That's the issue of that. We need to understand the difference between imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. That's where a lot of time we get confused, okay? And as a result, often we lead to three kinds of believer. Legalistic believer, a lukewarm believer, or half-hearted. Because if you read Titus chapter 2, if you truly encounter the grace of God, that will propel you to live righteously, as well as that will cause your heart to be passionate for Jesus, not passivity. Okay, so of course, it's a third one. I call it a confused believer. I don't know which is right and wrong. So that's why it's so vital for us to understand that. Okay, so justice is we are getting what we deserve. Mercy is we are getting what we do not deserve. Grace is we are getting... Did I get it wrong? Okay, let me say it one more time. Justice is we get what we deserve. Mercy is we do not get what we deserve. Grace is we get what we do not deserve. Salvation. Relationship with God. Indwelling Holy Spirit that empower our heart to live out the fullness of God's requirement in accordance to the Word of God. Wow, that is grace. Grace is a far bigger subject than mercy. That's why we need to unpack some of this so that we define it correctly. We don't get confused. Okay, so that's what we briefly talked about last week. I ran through it. In fact, I encourage every one of us to get a few commentary on the book of Romans. Go and read as much as you can so that you have the understanding, you have the clarity, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you that living understanding, more than just in your mind. But our heart, our emotion can engage this reality that we come before God like David. You know, David fell into sin. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. What did he say when he wrote Psalms 51? I'm coming before you, O God, according to your mercy. Because David has confidence before God. Because most of the time, I will have run away from God. I have to repent until I feel good before I come to God. God, I'm sorry. Because we have no confidence. We don't fully understand mercy and grace. So we need to have clarity and we need to pray for that living understanding. Okay. Next week, I'll give you the key of how do you walk out that living grace, the empowerment that's in your heart, that we can become victorious. Okay. Today, we're going to unpack Romans 3, verse 21 to 31. Because we need to understand some of the terms, some of the words that is being described, because this is so vital, okay? Because what I say earlier, Romans 3, verse 21 to 31 is a premier passage of scripture in understanding the gospel of grace. And when we understand, if we truly understand, I'm talking about the living understanding, it will give us confidence to go before God even in our weakness. Or even in our struggle. Because a lot of time, mentally we can connect with God, but emotionally we cannot. We feel the sense of guilt and shame and condemnation when we are struggling in sins. No, I use the word struggling. I'm not talking about rebellious. That's why we need to have that living understanding. Yeah, this is a very theological passage. In fact, I said last week, if you're high S, high C, you will love this book. Because this book, Paul actually presented systematically. Actually, it's quite easy to understand. You just need to understand certain terms. But it's a very systematic book, okay? In a sense, most theological book that fuse with many technical terms or biblical terms, okay? Don't be overwhelmed by some of this because it's easy for you to find a definition and understanding, you know? I can't even pronounce the word propitiation correctly, so it's okay. Okay, what you mean to know is to understand some of these biblical terms, legal terms, which is very important. It's vital because that is valuable so that we can have that living understanding, okay, which I say earlier, okay. Today, I'm going to focus primarily on our confidence before God because of the gospel of grace. I'm going to focus primarily on our legal position in Christ. We have two positions. One is legal position. One is living condition. Okay. Today, I want to talk primarily about our legal position before our legal position in Christ, which is very important. Because of grace, this is our legal position. Because of grace, we are now free, totally free from the judgment of sin in Christ. We are totally free, full stop, no but, no question mark, because of the imputed righteousness by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We are totally free from the judgment of sin. Today you stand before God at the judgment seat if you die today. God will not judge you of your sin. You are totally free and we can have confidence before God. Because of the imputed righteousness, we are totally changed and God views us differently. We are first-class citizens of God, not second-class. We don't have to earn it because it's totally imputed. I want to talk about that because many believers, I keep emphasizing some of this because this is not just a theological teaching. You need to have that encounter and that living understanding because even many believers know that we are saved. Mentally, we know. Not that we are not saved, but mentally, we know. But emotionally, we are not connected. Often, we still live in condemnations. Truth be told. A lot of time we live in condemnations. We live with a sense of guilt and even shame, especially the time when we struggle in sin. So every time when we come before God with no freedom. We have a guarded spirit because we are not too sure whether God still enjoys me today, God still likes me today, because somewhere within me, there's something that I'm struggling, even though I'm weak and sincere. I have no confidence. I feel the sense of condemnation. I feel the sense of shame. I feel the sense of guilt. And every time we come with the guarded spirit, that's not good. We come with the guarded spirit because we are not free before God. And we can't really open our heart to be to come into the very presence of God. That's why it's so important for us to understand our legal positions. And we must have that living understanding. That's why today I want to unpack again. In fact, go a little bit more detailed than last week. Romans 3, verse 21 to 31. Because Romans 3, verse 21 to verse 31 is about our legal position before God. Okay, I share with you Romans 3, 4, 5. Basically, Paul is trying to unpack and explain our legal position in Christ. That is imputed righteousness. Then Romans 6, 7, 8, Paul is trying to explain our living condition. How can we walk out the reality of righteousness in our life here in this age? But Romans 3, verse 21 to verse 31 is vital. Because if we do not have a living understanding of Romans 3, verse 21 to verse 31, we will not experience victory that Romans 6, 7, 8 talks about. That's why we need to get this right. So that we come before God, whether we are up or we are down, we say, Abba, Father, I'm here today. In Christ, I'm righteous before you. I can have that full connection with you with no guilt, no shame, no condemnation. I know some people will ask this question. Is my sin doesn't matter to God? Of course, which I'm going to talk about it next two sessions. But today I'm talking about we need to have that confidence to come before God even when we are struggling in sin and weakness with no shame, no guilt, no condemnation. That is about David. He came before God immediately. He knew that he needs to repent, but he didn't come before God as a beggar because he has confidence. That's like Romans 3, verse 21 to 30. I challenge you to meditate, take some time, and pray and ask God to give you that living understanding because we will not experience victory. That Romans 6, 7, 8, promise unless we have confidence that Romans 3, verse 21 to verse 31 that talks about. So that when we sin, instead of running away from God, we run to God. I see a lot of time when we sin, we run away from God because we are not too confident whether God still enjoy us. God still accept us. Will we be rejected? We may come before the presence of God. We can't like mentally know that we are not condemned. God accepts us, but we come with the guarded spirit, guarded heart. And at best, when we come with the guarded spirit and guarded heart, at best, we cannot receive the blessings and the presence and the victory and the grace of God in confidence and in an enjoyable way. At worst, we can't receive at all because our heart is guarded. That's why it is so vital. No, I'm not giving you license to sin. I will talk about it next week because Paul makes it very clear in Romans 6, 7, 8. He says, certainly not, because throughout the whole writing of the book, there are many Romans believers who ask the question, since grace abound, now we are free to do anything we want. Paul says, certainly not. Certainly not. He took Romans 3, 4, 5 to talk about the legal position so that we can have that confidence. Then he began to unpack Romans 6, 7, 8 so that we learn how to walk out to have victory. The living reality, the living victory. That's why it's so vital for us to understand the legal position in Christ so that it will give us confidence to walk out the living condition. Turn with me to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. It's a vital, powerful one, a couple of verses that help us to understand. Okay, help us to understand about our legal position so that we will run to the one who fully understands. More than just running to the one who fully understands, running to the one who gives us righteousness because of what he did on the cross of Jesus Christ. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 say this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, talking about Jesus Christ, who has passed through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Listen to verse 16. That is talking about confidence. What Paul is trying to give us in Romans 3 is to give us confidence to run before God because of grace, to obtain mercy, so that we will have grace to achieve victory. If we don't understand and don't have the confidence that Paul talks about in Romans 3, we will not experience full victory in Romans 6, 7, 8, because we will always come before God with the guarded spirit. We are not free to receive the fullness of all that God desires to give unto us, for us to walk it out so that we can be righteous here on this age. Okay, that's where verse 16 said this. Let us therefore come boldly. That means come with confidence. No shame. No condemnation. What do you think the word condemnation means? The word condemnation basically means your fear of rejection. The opposite of condemnation is confidence. You come boldly to the throne of grace because of grace, that we may obtain mercy. It's always about mercy. God is love, but He can't relate even His love to us unless there is mercy, unless there is grace. We obtain mercy and find grace, that imputed power that is within us, so that we can walk it out to help us in times of need. That's why this is so, so vital. Okay, I know people say, how about sin? How about whatever? How about God discipline? How about God will do something? No, God will discipline us. The discipline of God does not equate condemnation. The discipline of God does not equate rejection. If you read Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of the book of Hebrews makes it very clear, because God loves you, He's going to discipline you. Okay, so where do you think Romans 3 leads to? The crescendo of Romans 3 is to achieve Romans 8 verse 1. What does Romans 8 verse 1 say? In Christ, there is no condemnation. In Christ, there is no condemnation. No more condemnation, no more rejection. That does not mean no more discipline. God will always discipline us. That's where we need to learn to separate. We need to understand this, okay? I'm going to give you some technical terms, okay? But all these are vital, okay? The entire foundation of the gospel of grace, that's what Romans 3 is all about, okay? What it means in Romans 3 is this. Write this down if you want to, okay? It's a revelation of the offering of God's righteousness to us. I will unpack it later as I go to verse by verse. Revelation of the offering of God's righteousness to us. Last week I shared from Romans 1, 2, and 3. Man is incapable, totally incapable, unable, incompetent of saving ourselves. That's why God has to offer another way out. Because He's righteous, His love. So Romans 3 is the entire foundation of the gospel of grace. Basically, the theme is revelation of the offering of God's righteousness to us. God offers His righteousness to us. I will make a statement later that your mind will be blown. I know last week quite a few minds were blown. The revelation of the offering of God's righteousness to us. Basically means what? Our sin is fully paid. That's Romans 3. We won't be judged again. That's Romans 5. From being the enemy of God, now we become His friend. That's why Paul started Romans 5:1 saying that now, because of Christ, we have made peace with God. The peace is not peace in your heart. There's no turbulence. The peace is that now we are no longer enemy with God. Man, enemy with God, that's serious. Okay, so that was Romans 5. We won't be judged. Then there's Romans 8 says what? There's no more condemnation. Again, Romans 8 too. Romans 8 is actually the whole transition point of the whole teaching about the gospel of grace. Okay, again, I'll unpack 2 weeks from now. Romans 8 says, right now we can relate with God with no restraint. with no hindrance. In fact, what did God give us? He put within us the spirit of adoption. So that deep within our innermost being, the Spirit of God stir in our heart, we can cry what? Abba, Father. Do you know that that is not human effort? It cannot, it has to be that stirring of the Spirit. Say, oh, Abba, Father. There is grace, the offering of righteousness. This is not just some technical term, but our spirit and God's spirit is connected right now. We can call unto Him, Abba, Father. So that is the entire theme, okay, of the book of Romans. Righteousness of God is imputed and imparted to us. The righteousness of God is in two big terms. Okay, actually it's not such a big term. The righteousness of God is imputed and imparted from us. That means we are free from the penalty of sin. And we are free from the power of sin. See, a lot of time when we talk about the gospel, we only emphasize on the first part, free from the penalty of sin. That's only one aspect. There's another aspect of the gospel is we are free from the power of sin. Romans 3, 4, 5, Paul is trying to talk about we are free from the penalty of sin. 6, 7, 8, if we learn to walk by the power and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we can be free from the power of sin. That is true gospel called good news. Gospel is not about we are saved right now, we have the passport, but the passport is not valid until Jesus comes back or if we die. So we have to struggle all the while until we see Jesus say, phew, finally I'm here. You didn't call me home soon enough. No, gospel is about freeing us from the penalty of sin, which is so vital, as well as freeing us from the power of sin. We can actually live victorious here on earth. The key is Romans 8, verse 1 to 5. That is what it is about. Turn to me to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm still building on that foundation. I could just, again, run through briefly from Romans 1, verse 16, all the way to Romans 3, verse 31. No, Romans 3, verse 20. Then I begin to unpack, okay? Remember last week, what did I say? What's the key verse of the book of Romans? Chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. That is the key verse of the entire book of Romans. Verse 16 and 17 basically say this: receiving of the gospel is to experience the power of salvation. Receiving the gospel is to experience the power of salvation. That means we are free from the penalty of sin. Hallelujah! Because that's vital. Without that, we can't even go on to the second part. We are free from the penalty of sin. That's the first aspect of the gospel. Then there's a second aspect. We are free from the power of sin. That means we are free from the judgment and the condemnation of God. We can receive forgiveness and mercy. And the second, we are given ability to walk away or walk free from sin. It's very powerful. Let's read through Romans 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16, because it reveals. Verse 16 reveals the promise of the gospel. Primarily, it's freedom from the penalty of sin and freedom from the power of sin. But the promise of verse 16 is built on the foundation of verse 17. In order to have that power, you need to receive the free gifts of God's righteousness. Is imputed within you so that you can walk it out. That is the foundational truth, the starting point of our victory. Because again, I say, we will not have victory of Romans 6, 7, 8 until we understand the imputed righteousness that is within us. If we lack that understanding, it will short-circuit us from experiencing that victory. Okay, let me read. I'm going to run through quickly. Romans 1, verse 16. said this. There are seven powerful truths in just two verses. For I am not ashamed. I mean, I shared last week, it takes great courage for Paul to say that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because during his time, he faced great opposition, and to believe in the gospel seems foolish. A carpenter who died on the cross provides salvation. In comparison and contrast to the might of the Roman Empire, as well as the excellence of the Greek thinking and philosophy, throw in the Jewish morality and the law, Paul seems like a fool. But Paul can stand up there and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because he understood something about the gospel of grace. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Gospel in a nutshell means good news. Actually, a better definition is what God did for man. That is the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. That is the power that is put within us. Do you know, we don't even know the power that is within us. Next two sessions, I want to talk about walking out this power. Because of the imputed righteousness. Do you know what is imputed within us? In our spirit man, the fullness of God. Colossians 1, verse 27 said this, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Everything about Jesus, everything that God the Father has given to Jesus is in us right now. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says what? If anyone is in Christ. You know what I mean by in Christ? Because every human being, there's only two options. In Christ or in Adam. In Christ, that means you share or you are given everything that Jesus has. His power, his righteousness, so on and so on. In Adam, then that's bad news. That's not the good news. In Adam, it means the sinful nature, a struggle, and so on and so on, which is what Paul is trying to do to unpack in Romans chapter 5. This is so powerful. That's the power of God. We have the power. Power for what? For salvation. Salvation is more than just saving us from hell's fire. Salvation is also delivering us from the power of sin. That's why when Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation he's talking about. Because of the good news that God has given us the power, we can be free from the penalty of sin. And we are free, we are free from the penalty of sin, and we can be free from the power of sin. The key is how do we walk it out? Called imparted righteousness. That's why it's so vital. Let's go to let me finish verse 16. Okay. Power of God for the salvation for everyone. That means it's made available to anyone and everyone that will repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. They receive the fullness imputed. That means we all have right now. Wow. That's why every time I read the scripture, often I feel frustrated. You can call it holy frustration. You can call it hunger. You can call it whatever. That means I'm read and say, Man, God, man. There's so much that you have given to us. I'm walking out so little. That's called poor in the spirit. Blessed are those who are poor in the spirit. That's why, read through Romans. Don't just have that technical idea in your mind. Ask God for their living understanding. So that when you read, you realize that we are so far short of what God has promised. We felt poor in the spirit. And lead us to the next thing called what? We will mourn. You know why mourn? We will contend. We will pray. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Godly sorrow. That godly sorrow that propel us to contend. For the fullness of it. See, truth be told, a lot of times we don't have that godly sorrow. No, we should not. We should reject guilt, condemnation, shame. But God says it's good to have that godly sorrow, that mourning aspect, so that we contend. That will propel us to pray. You know, prayerlessness simply means that we don't need God. prayerlessness is a sign of we don't realize we are poor in the spirit. We think we are okay. That's the result of prayerlessness. No, don't go inside yourself. It's about God giving us that living understanding. Okay, what a powerful verse. Okay, first for the Jew, and then for the Gentile or the Greek. That's it, verse 17. Verse 17 is important because verse 16 built on the foundation of verse 17. To start, you have to receive the free gift of God's righteousness. If not, you will not have that power to have victory or salvation. Verse 17 said this. For in it, talking about the gospel that being offered, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Okay, it's actually a better translation. Is the righteousness of God is being offered to man. Martin Luther when he was trying to go deep in Romans 1 verse 16, he got confused. He thought that what this verse means is this is the requirement. In order to have salvation, you need to live out the righteousness of God. That's why he got depressed for a long time until he contend and pray. Finally, he got a revelation. He realized that what this verse means, the righteous, God is offering his righteousness unto us. Righteousness is based on faith from first to last. That's why righteousness of God is revealed in the sense that there's a, later when you go to Romans 3, you understand this even clearer. There's a better way of getting, or rather the only way to getting the righteousness of God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul ends with this, the just shall live by faith. He's basically quoting from if I didn't get it wrong, it's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Okay, three times this verse is being quoted in the New Testament. One is in Romans 1:16-17. Second time is Galatians 2, verse 11. Third time is Hebrew 10, I think, somewhere in Hebrew 10. All three emphasize on three aspects, which is, I encourage you going read all three because that will help you to understand and walk in this promise. The just shall live by faith. Romans emphasize on the just. We are righteous. Because, why are we righteous? We earn it? No. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, the just. Galatians emphasize shall live. Because Galatians teaches us how to walk it out. That's why Galatians emphasize about walking in the Spirit. The way to walk out the imparted righteousness is learning to walk by the Spirit, which Paul also taught in Romans 8. Then Hebrew emphasize by faith. By faith is based on faith. The just. Roman emphasized on the just. Galatians emphasized shall live. Hebrew emphasized by faith. That's how Hebrew 11, Hebrew 12 basically is a book, or rather 10, 11, 12 is a three chapter about faith. Living by faith is about by faith. Okay, run through. Let me run through quickly. Then I'm going to unpack Romans 3 so that you have an understanding of the flow. Okay, I know I've said some of this thing before, but it's good for us to keep hearing and hearing. And then go back, meditate, study, confess, ask God for that living understanding in your heart. Okay, then you really appreciate the gospel. Okay, Romans 1 to 4. Basically, Paul, first four chapter, okay. Romans 1 to 4, Paul is explaining and trying to unpack this truth about God's offering of the free gift of righteousness. He starts off with verse 16 and verse 17. It's like a summary of what this gospel of grace is all about, what this free gift of righteousness is all about, that will crescendo all the way in Romans 8, verse 1. There will be no condemnation. There will be no condemnation, okay? Romans 1, verse 18, to chapter 3, verse 8. Basically, Paul is trying to explain and justify that all men are condemned. I say last week, if you read the book of Romans from chapter 1 and stop at chapter 3, verse 20, you're going to walk away pretty depressed. Because you're going to find out, man, I have no hope. I'm totally condemned. So Romans 1, verse 18 to chapter 3, verse 8, basically Paul is trying to explain and justify the condemnation of every man. Whether you are immoral, you are Gentiles, or you are moral, you are Jews, circumcised, uncircumcised, everyone is guilty. No one is righteous before God. Is that grim? That bad? Yeah, first time read, you know, feel like, say, man, that is bad. I try not to put myself in it, but I can't. Because when Romans 3, is it Romans 3? Romans 1, there are 24 sins that Paul mentioned. I'm sure you have one in it. I'm sure more than one. I can find many for myself. So that's what Paul is trying to do. He's trying to explain and justify that all men are condemned. Okay, he's like, all are guilty. Dang, that's it. Okay, then Romans 3, verse 9 to verse 20. Romans 3, verse 9 to verse 20. Talk about the doctrine of sinful depravity of man. That means we are totally incapable of saving God. We can't save God. Okay, so no, we are totally incapable of saving ourselves. No way. I shared it last week. Okay, Romans 3 verse 9 to 20 talks about that. We are so depraved in the three areas. Our mind, our heart, our soul, our strength. Which God so desires us to love Him with what? All our heart, soul, strength and mind. But we can't do it. Because of the deficiency in our human nature. Because before we are in Christ, we are in what? We are in Adam. Everyone. We are in Adam. Whether you're Caucasian, you are black, you are Chinese, you are whatever, we are all in Adam. And because we are all in Adam, there is the sinful depravity, the deficiency of man that is in us. Until when we become in Christ. That's why 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 is such a liberating verse. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If I have time, I'll talk about that. Okay. So that's Romans 3, verse 9 to verse 20. That Paul lay out the doctrine of the sinful depravity of man. You know, I'm quite motivated to do a teaching on that 11 verses. I think we need to know that. Okay. Then Romans 3, verse 21 to verse 31, which we're going to cover today. Romans 3, verse 21 to verse 31. God provide a solution. The only way out for man. Because he's just and he's a justifier. He's righteous and he's mercy. So God provides a solution. It's called the offering of the free gift of righteousness. Offering of the free gift of righteousness. Okay, where he took verse 21 to verse 31 to explain how a sinful person can be saved and be justified. Called imputed righteousness, justification, our legal positions. I'm going to unpack some of this because we need to understand some of these terms. Because the issue of salvation is not the issue of love. We need to get it right. Because God loves us, but He cannot overlook sin. If He overlooks sin, then He's not righteous. It's not just. Because if God is righteous, everything He does is right. And if He does not punish sin, then He's not righteous. That's why we need to understand some of this term is because it's a very powerful term that causes us to begin to appreciate. Because the issue of salvation is the issue of justice. It's the issue of justice, not the issue of love. Because God loves anyone and everyone. His nature is love. But the issue of salvation is the issue of justice. When there's a sin, blood is required. God cannot overlook. If He overlook, then He violates His own law. Then God is not just. That is the thing that we have to understand. It's not about love. It's about justice. Okay. So that's Romans 3, verse 21 to verse 31. Paul explained how a sinful man can be saved and justified
is off. He actually break down the legal position and the imputed righteousness. Okay, then from Romans, actually chapter 4, he's actually trying to prove that throughout history, from Abraham all the way right now, is always by faith. That's why he used Abraham and David to prove a point. Was Abraham being saved before circumcision or after circumcision? Before. And was imputed or credited to him righteousness because he simply believed. Okay, I don't know whether I have time to run through Romans 4 because Romans 4 is very interesting because God appeared a few times to Abraham. Okay, in the first time in Genesis 12, when God made a covenant, it was conditional. It only sealed in Genesis 15, because finally God imputed righteousness to Abraham because he believed. It's a very powerful truth, okay? So that is Romans, okay. Romans 3, verse 21 to 31. Okay, it's important. This is a foundational passage. You need to get this 11 verses right. 11 or 10, I don't know. Okay, because this is the foundational passage for the gospel of grace, as well as salvation by grace. The entire book of Romans is built on these 11 verses. No, I'm not exaggerating. It's true. That's why this is a very theological 11 verses, but we must go beyond theological. We must have that living understanding. If not, we will not fully understand. Okay? We will not fully understand. You see, one of the greatest mistakes when we do discipleship, especially for young believers, is we never really taught them the book of Romans. So our wings are forever clipped because we don't fully understand. We can't really fly and soar. If you are a new believer, if you have new believer, there are two books in the Bible that you have to know. Romans and Ephesians. These are the two foundational books. Romans, Ephesians. If you don't get the foundation right, I won't say never. A lot of times you are not able to soar as what God promised because we have not understand certain truth about what God has given unto us. Certain foundation has not been laid.